Wednesday, baby, 18th of December. It's Simo and Jordan waking you up for the middle of the week.
And Simo, you know I like to live my life dangerously and take risks.
No, you are, like, out of the two of us, I feel like you're the lesser risk taker, but I'm here for this if you have taken a risk.
Well, you're correct. I am the lesser risk taker. That's a bit of a tongue twister, especially early in the morning.
Mm.
But Simo, you've often double stepped while going upstairs.
Yeah.
You know, when you do two steps at once.
Yep.
Have you ever double stepped going downstairs?
That's a bit of a danger.
I did yesterday.
Yep.
Whoa, it's terrifying.
Yeah, how did you go?
It was fine. I didn't fall over, but I felt like I was going to fall over about 20 times in about a second.
You know that saying, one step at a time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it basically applies to you, I think.
Well, going downstairs, yes. Going upstairs, two steps, fine. Sometimes even three if I'm feeling a bit risque.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If I really want to stretch the hammies early in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's, especially the hours of the day, I think peak performance for, like, you know, going up and down the stairs. In the mornings, you don't want to be skipping.
Mm.
Afternoons, maybe you can risk a couple. Middle of the day is prime.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, good daylight, so you got good vision.
Oh, yeah, good vision, yeah. Good point. You always need good vision going downstairs.
You're also awake enough to be able to perform, which is good.
Well, hopefully you are.
We're going to kick off with Your Eyes, Something a Bit Hectic, Peking Duck, Our Right on the vocals. Morning.
Let's go.
Camila Cabello, Liar, trumpeting her way through your Wednesday. It's Simo and Jordan. Right here with you, hanging out in Snow FM Breakfast is thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of High Country Subaru. And with Christmas time comes the family, not the family portraits, but rather the family photos.
Well, back in the day, back in like the 1900s and stuff, there would be actually a family portrait. Someone would come and paint the family. You know, they'd have to sort of stay sitting together for an hour or so while they painted. Nowadays, you don't have to do that.
I always forget that you come from a rich background, so you're so knowledgeable about the past.
Well, I mean, I was around in the 1900s, so I know.
We're talking, of course, about selfies. Now, I feel like it was a quintessential 2010 thing. In 2020, I think it's time to move on.
You reckon?
Yeah, so, I mean, if there's anything, a bit of a throwback here, selfies.
Can we go to the bathroom? Can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
The reason I'm bringing selfies to the table, Jordan, is because doctors have come out saying they're a bit dangerous.
I thought you just wanted to play that song.
Nah, they're a bit dangerous, apparently.
Why are they dangerous? I can understand, I think, people taking selfies and not realising their environment that they're in. That could potentially be dangerous.
Yeah, that was covered pretty extensively as well. Now, this guy, Dr. Harvey, he's mentioned that it's increasing your chances of carpal tunnel syndrome, which is a condition resulting in numbness, pain, loss of function in some fingers and the hand through extensive selfie-ing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so in some case, apparently surgery is needed where required as well. So how many selfies a day are you doing? Because there must be people out there that are hitting quite a few.
Well, I mean, thanks to the invention of Instagram, there are people who just take millions of selfies a day. I'm not one of them. But yeah, no, I didn't realise that it would be that serious.
Yeah, it's apparently prevention is better than cure, as they say.
So I just don't take selfies.
I've got some key recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. So I'm into the these.
I'm keen for these.
All right, so only use as much force as you need. So don't press too hard.
Who's pressing so hard that their phone smashes?
There you go. So be careful with it, Jordan.
All right. Yep. I mean, I was being careful anyway, but
still. So apparently you should alternate hands as well where possible.
Okay. Yeah. Tick.
So
yeah,
like if one's getting too much of a workout, swap over.
And then train up your legs and use one of them.
There you go. Take regular breaks as well. Just, you know, stretch your hands as well, take a bit of a breather.
Hang on, wait, stretch your hands.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're trying to avoid because the arm is outstretched the entire time and now they're saying stop stretching your arm and stretch some more?
I feel like it might actually be like some proper exercises.
Oh, for like your fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Right? And then apparently you've also got to watch your body posture, hunching of your shoulders. Apparently it sets off a chain reaction that can make your wrist problems a little bit worse.
Right, well, be careful if you're taking selfies, I guess.
That's right, yeah. So alternate hands when it starts to really take its toll.
Because anyhow, you know how when you watch sport and sometimes towards the end of the game players go down with cramp?
Yeah.
Is that just another thing that's going to be happening on Instagram? They're just trying to take a selfie and just their arm cramps up?
Probably something of the future. That would be Kim K would be the first to go down.
That's the problem for 2030.
Yeah, the Kardashians. So yeah, They'd be the first ones to report to the medical room, I feel, for the selfie.
Keep an eye on the Kardashians if they get cramp. You know why.
We got a rule now. Painkiller. My pain. Watermelon Sugar. Harry Styles on Snow FM at breakfast. That was Watermelon Sugar off his album Fine Line, which dropped in December, bringing a bit of swagger to the end of 2019. And what we're dealing with now, Christmas.
Yes, Simo. I saw this in the news the other day. A couple in Brisbane got a bit of a shock as they arrived home from work. They kind of looked out their window and noticed that all the birds on the balcony were acting unusually distressed, they said.
Right. I'm glad they're paying attention to the wildlife around them, because that's something that I'm terrible at noticing.
What, paying attention to wildlife?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably should maybe keep an eye on it.
Keep your eyes peeled, like especially swooping season.
Yeah, just be aware.
Seems like they come out of nowhere.
But these birds were acting a bit unusual. Okay. So, in fact, I've got the quote here from one of the members of this couple.
Right.
He says, "My partner's gone out there actually videoing the birds because they were going mad."
Right.
As he's turned around, he stepped back and he didn't realise he was leaning on the Christmas tree, which had a 10-foot-long python.
Oh, man.
Wrapped around it.
Wow.
I mean, there are various reasons that would make birds go a bit crazy. Oh. And, in fact, Jordan go a bit crazy. Yeah. And I think a 10-foot python wrapped around a Christmas tree is probably one of those.
Interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's... You wouldn't mistake it for tinsel, would you?
Well, I mean, you never know. There could be some weird snake-shaped tinsel out there that you've kind of just decorated your tree around.
Maybe.
Unfortunately, so no one got injured by the snake. It didn't bite anyone. But I just love this. Another little quote in the article here. It was a bit of a shock. Really, was it?
Yeah.
You don't really expect to see a snake on your Christmas tree. I mean, never a truer statement has been said.
Yeah, well, now I guess we'll have to try and preempt that. Just expect whenever we put up a Christmas tree, just be like, where's the snake?
Well, Simo, you know what? We've got a Christmas tree in the office here. Every time you're going to be walking past it, you're just going to be keeping an eye out.
That's true.
Going, is there a 10-foot
python? Now I'll be checking Christmas trees all throughout December. What are you doing? Just looking for snakes?
Yeah, just on a Christmas tree is where they live nowadays.
That's where they all are.
So what would, if this happened to you, what would you do? You'd call a snake catcher or something like that?
Yeah, you'd call a snake catcher. Then you'd brainstorm what you'd call a Christmas snake for a solid 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Only 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I'd be the rest of the day, mate.
Dasher, that's all I got.
Dasher?
After one of the reindeer?
I mean, yeah, but if you do call the snake Dasher, you don't want him to get confused with the actual reindeer.
That's true.
So, Dasher's coming. Is that, are we talking about the snake or Father Christmas?
Maybe Santa's picked up a new pet.
I mean, maybe you've been so bad this year, Santa thought, you know, Cole's probably not enough.
Anything. Thomas Heaton, Clean Me Up, Snow FM Breakfast, 21 minutes on the way to 8. And in December, food, it's an important communal family part of the Christmas time stuff. You are definitely more of an expert, potentially, when it comes to foodstuffs.
Are you calling me fat? Is that what you're trying to say?
You always bring it back to this. No, but you
you're a food expert.
Like, in regards to... It's a big part of your life, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, it's a big and very important part of everyone's life.
That's true.
But yes, it does strike a chord with me.
That's right. So do you have like a family dish that's handed down from generations to generations, or mum always makes the same thing?
Not really, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. No, not a heck of a lot. I mean, at Christmas time, you do the traditional turkey and that sort of stuff.
Right.
But I think that's sort of a lot of families do that, either turkey or the ham or maybe seafood.
Well, because I've noticed, particularly in my family, there's three sisters. So in regards to my mum and her two sisters.
I see, yeah.
They all have a very specific role when it rolls around to dinner time and family events are in December, right? So one of them, all right, you're doing a pasta. It's always Auntie Lisa's pasta salad.
Mm-hmm.
It's always my mum, Kerry. It's always Kerry's potato salad.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's always Auntie Anne, and she's always on the kind of like the Vietnamese kind of salad thing, if you like.
And then do you just go there with a cravat and just judge them all?
No, I really should.
I know you should do. Get them to like line up with cloches on top of them all. And it's like, this year I've made potato salad to just do a very dramatic reveal. And it's like, yeah, we know, you make it every year.
But it must be a bit of a thing in families in regards to everyone having a responsibility for a certain food.
Yeah, well, it's like Christmas, especially this time of year, it's kind of like a play, like a well-oiled machine. Everyone knows what their jobs are. They all do it. And then it all kind of comes together for a nice, happy afternoon.
So when you're there, do you target particular dishes?
Well, certainly there are some that I prefer more than others. Yeah. Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're not
no chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't even think about coming near my plate.
That shouldn't be wheeled out at Christmas. If that's happening, I don't know what's going on at your joint.
I know. Yeah. I'd need to have a chat to Mom about that. But, yeah, no, certainly the turkey or the trimmings or the bacon and all this sort of stuff is a go-to staple for me.
Now, you bring up the bacon. Apparently this is something that occurs in a fair few Christmas dinners, if you like, mm-hmm. or Christmas lunches, barbecues and that kind of thing. Pigs in blankets. Are you familiar with these?
I haven't had that in so long.
Now, this is also a heritage thing because this is English, right?
Yes.
This is your people.
Yeah, so my kind of background, my family, my parents and all that are English, and it is a very English thing. So if you don't know, it's sort of little chipolata sausages, like the small ones, and then you just wrap them in a piece of streaky bacon and cook them.
Okay, right.
So that's kind of... pigs in blankets, that's where it sort of comes from.
And so, the reason I bring this to the table, if you like...
I haven't had them in so long.
Right? You might not have them for even longer, because apparently, well, in your mother country, they're going through a bit of a bacon shortage.
Wait, so in England or Australia?
In England.
Oh, okay, right, so here we're fine.
It's fine, yeah. If you want to do an Australian version, you should be fine.
And I will.
But this annoyed me this morning. It's really dumb what annoys me. Anyway...
bacon is annoying you.
The bacon shortage in England has annoyed me.
The fact that I don't have bacon here to eat in front of me is starting to annoy me, not going to lie.
Also irritating. But the fact is that, okay, so these pigs in blankets, right, they don't have the bacon to actually make them,
mm-hmm.
right? But they're still... selling pigs in blankets over there in your
so wait, hang on. So pigs in blankets with our blankets are just sausages.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're trying to guilt trip everyone by saying that like there's a bacon shortage, which is leaving the pigs without blankets.
Uh-huh.
It's like they're a food. You're contributing to eating all of the pork, right? It's not about building up a bit of sadness or sympathy for pigs that might go without blankets this Christmas.
I think it is. I mean, I'm not saying that we should, you know, like forget about all the other charities.
Yeah.
But I think this is an important issue as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm deeply concerned by this. The fact that bacon shortage leaves pigs without blankets.
So just sausage. Wait, is that what we're talking about? So they're just sausages on a plate.
That's right.
Which,
yeah.
By the way, they're not disastrous. Yeah. They're still delicious just on their own. Just the bacon adds an extra element of deliciousness.
Right. So if you get hold of a pig in a blanket, you're a happy boy.
Yeah.
Right. What happens if you get hold of just a sausage, which is effectively a pig without a blanket?
Look, I'm still happy.
Yeah, are they a bit colder?
Not going to lie. Well, if they are, I'll just put them back in the frying pan for a bit.
We got Fitz and the Tantrums this morning. Happy Wednesday. 16 minutes on the way to 8. Simo and Jordan. Snow FM Breakfast is thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of High Country Subaru. Sigala, we got love, Snow FM Breakfast. Simo and Jordan just hanging out.
And Simo, we're coming towards the end of 2019, which means we're also coming to the end of this decade.
Wow.
The 2010s.
Okay.
As I think it's the best name that we've come up for them is. There were a lot of trends that kind of took over social media.
Really
in
quick
this decade.
One. Yeah. I have a question. Are you going with 2020 or are you going with 2020?
Well, yeah, this is a big discussion and a big thought in my life. I don't know.
Okay.
I think, to be honest, I think I'll use a combination of the two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm 2020, hands down.
I think I'm going to use 2020 in the summer.
Yuck.
And then 2020 in the winter, because if I say 2020 in the summer, people might get confused with cricket.
Oh, yeah, right. No, they won't.
You never know.
Okay.
Anyway, we will leave that discussion for another day, perhaps next year when it is 2020. But Simo, there were lots of kind of viral trends that kind of went between the 2010s and the 2020s, as it's going to be. Even the whole social media aspect was kind of, back in 2010, we just didn't really know much about it.
Oh, back in 2010.
You know, Instagram was only, it's like less than 10 years old.
Yeah,
I think it was 2011
that
was founded. I could be wrong, but I think it's 2010 or 2011.
And now there's like people's lives depend on it.
I know, it's weird. But Simo, so I got a couple of the biggest trends of the 2010s. I want to get your thoughts as to whether we can destroy them or whether they're worth perhaps bringing back. And you can get involved too, 64572977, if you've got any trends that we miss and that you want to get our thoughts on, or if you reckon we should destroy some of these trends or bring them back.
Okay.
All right, Simo, you ready to go?
I am extra so keen.
All right, here's number one.
Open Gangnam Style.
All right, yeah, nah, I'm into it. What's his
Remember
name?
This?
Yeah.
It's a Psy Gangnam Style. I think this was 2013 he brought out this song. It was everywhere.
Yeah, here for it.
Gangnam Style. And still no one knows any of the lyrics apart from this bit.
In his
Can you do the dance?
In his little suit and his sunglasses.
Do you remember the dance that he did as well?
He's got sweat.
Kind of like with the horse, you know? The horse thing.
Yeah.
I remember he kind of went around and did all of the TV shows and all this sort of stuff. Also, Psy, he had a follow-up song with Snoop Dogg, which was so weird. Actually, about being hungover.
The whole horse thing is a bit ahead of his time, because Old Town Road didn't pop up until this year.
Oh, so he's saying Lil Nas X copied Psy?
Yeah, maybe.
With a song about a horse?
Mm.
All right, so Simo, what do you reckon? Can we leave that one in the dirt or bring it back, perhaps?
I love it. I think it's great.
All right, well, there you go. It's got the Simo tick of approval. What about this one, trend number two?
Yes.
Do you remember the Harlem Shake?
I'm all about it. So good.
So if you don't know what it is, so essentially there's a group of people, all of them are standing still apart from one who is dancing during this bit of the song.
Yeah.
And then when it drops...
Yeah.
Just it cuts and just everyone is going nuts, just doing the most bizarre stuff ever.
Yeah,
like wearing a gorilla mask, dancing around in your underwear, waving a hockey stick above your head, just doing this crazy stuff.
Again, enjoyable.
Did you ever do one?
No.
Were you ever a part of one?
I don't think so, but I was definitely a consumer of them.
Mm.
I enjoyed them up to a point.
Yeah,
I think when the footy teams and stuff got involved. Just because they're already well known for their outrageous behaviour, I think I was a bit upset by that, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as the sporting teams, because they have a good time already, all right, just let the rest of us, like the nerds, the ones that are busy working all the time, just let us have a bit of wild. Don't just take it away.
So what, Harlem Shake, not for famous people?
That's right, yeah. Not for anyone that already has a bit of a party lifestyle, but for the rest of us, 100%.
All right, what about this one, Simo?
Nah, not going there.
Okay, well, it's Miley Cyrus, and what a decade she's had. She went through her own weird, naked twerking phase. Ugh. But see, my twerking is one I want to bring up. Do you remember Miley's performance at the VMAs? I came in like
a wrecking. Yes, but it wasn't to this one, was it?
No, it wasn't to this one. Because I watched that video of the VMAs yesterday as I was recording these, and that video made me feel physically ill.
Yeah.
So I didn't, couldn't really stand it.
Well, it was Blurred Lines, wasn't it?
Yeah, Blurred Lines. So it was teamed up with Robin Thicke, and just this crazy performance where she came out of a giant teddy bear and was twerking, and then twerking was the trend.
That's right.
That was everywhere. I remember even Clive Palmer did it.
Is this one or no? There you go.
Yeah, that's the song.
Yeah, so Miley Cyrus. It was actually quite a clinch moment, if you like, or clutch moment, because it was like, goodbye, Hannah Montana.
Very much goodbye, Hannah Montana.
I'm a whole other thing.
I'm now naked on stage.
I'm a whole lot of woman.
Twerking with a 45-year-old singer.
Yeah, I think people had a bit of an issue with it as well, because she's still, she was still... she was still growing as well. Mm. Like, so she turned of age and it was completely fine, but everyone just couldn't get it out of their minds that she's supposed to be like a Disney child star. What is going on?
We should say that she had finished the Hannah Montana show by this stage. She wasn't twerking on Robin Thicke on the Hannah Montana show.
On the Friday night.
No.
Then, like, doing Hannah Montana on the Saturday morning.
No, they had finished. There was no overlap.
Yeah,
but, yeah, Simo, twerking is the trend that I want to bring up.
Nope.
Big
nope,
no on that?
Nope. The other two, yes. That one's a hell no.
Fair enough. But, Simo, we've got so many more trends to go through. Perhaps should we go through a couple more tomorrow?
I'm keen for that.
Olvídate los hoteles y vamos para los moteles de calle 8. Qué rico.
1 + 1 = 3 to Tango Pitbull this morning, Snow FM at breakfast. 10 minutes on the way to 9 and considering a move to colder climates.
Well, look, I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
I wasn't.
Weren't you?
But, I mean, you know, the weather this week is quite warm. Perhaps it could be something I look at. What colder climate did you have in mind?
Antarctica.
Yeah, that is quite a bit colder.
So have you thought about it? You mentioned you'd like to visit, but you wouldn't like to stay.
I'd like to visit. I reckon it would be cool to go there and visit and hang around for a bit.
You reckon it would
You
reckon it would be cool?
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah.
To kind of go and visit. You know, living there, though, I'm not sure how the Netflix connection is and the internet and the Wi-Fi and all that sort of stuff could be an issue.
So that'd be a big thing for you?
Yeah, I've got to watch my Netflix.
What could convince you?
Oh, well, I mean, if they did have Netflix, to be honest, and Stan and Amazon and all the other video streaming things.
Yeah, well, here's something that might convince you.
How about this for a job? The coolest job in the world, literally. Some positions are paying $200,000 a year. You get free board. All your food's cooked for you by the top chefs.
All your food is cooked for you by top chefs on Antarctica.
I mean, so far, so good.
I didn't know that there was a lot of top shelf chefs in Antarctica.
And that's what Gordon Ramsay does with his spare time.
Is that where they go?
He's opened a restaurant in London, New York, Antarctica, all, you know, everywhere.
All the centres of food.
I think Jamie Oliver's got one there too.
Nice. All fresh produce, I assume.
Well, if it's not, it's probably frozen. But I think everything just comes frozen. That's just the norm there.
So
how cold does it get in the Antarctica? Like negative 50? I think it gets sort of that cold.
Right up there.
So it's winter for about 6 months of the year. Temperature plummets to minus 40.
Seems like a good time.
Minus 40, okay. So yeah. Minus 40. Oh, it's only minus 40.
Yeah.
Just T-shirt and shorts weather today, guys. It's only minus 40.
200K a year as well.
200K a year, yeah. Can't complain with that. So what is the job? What's like? What do you actually have to do? Do you just have to sort of be there? Is there a radio show in Antarctica?
That's the tricky thing.
There's Radio Antarctica. Here's Katy Perry.
Yeah, the problem is that there isn't a...
Actually, I just thought of a tagline for the radio station for Antarctica.
Go for it.
The best radio station on the continent.
The only one?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, probably. The only other radios that get used in Antarctica are probably for communication.
Walkie-talkies?
Yeah, walkie-talkies. Anyway, so what was the actual job? What do you have to do?
That's the thing. It's unlisted. All it says is that you'll get to go and learn new skills.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know what you're doing.
You do.
I mean, there's a bit of a glaring thing there that they've missed, which is what you'll actually be doing for work.
When you sign a contract, you want to know what all the other duties are, right?
It's kind of concerning now that they haven't told you what you'll be doing.
Apparently, the last people that went over there end up doing jobs that they're not exactly 100% trained nor skilled at.
Okay.
Doctor broke their hand.
That's bad.
Yeah. But they were the only doctor.
Only one doctor?
Yeah. On Antarctica. There was only one.
So the one doctor on Antarctica
broke their hand. Yeah.
Who's going to diagnose it?
Apparently, well, she diagnosed it. She was oh, my hand's broken. I think you'd know, wouldn't you?
Actually, now I think
looking
about
down
it,
at
yeah.
it.
If it's at like a 90-degree angle or something like that and it's kind of sticking, I was like, this could be an issue.
Yeah, so...
You know what you do when you get like injuries, when sports people get injuries like that, they put ice on it.
Mm.
Do you reckon that's going to be an issue in Antarctica?
Nah, it's just...
Oh, you've hurt your hand, put ice on it. Where are you going to get that from?
It's going to be good recovery.
I don't know. I can't see any anywhere.
Good recovery time. But apparently the plumber and the other guy that was taking care of...
The plumber.
The plumber took care of the broken hand.
Oh, so just took care of the broken hand.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the plumber became the new doctor.
Well, yeah, momentarily.
Yesterday fixing toilets, now fixing hands.
It's all connected, right?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Pipes connected to the head, pipes connected to that.
I think you've just proven that there is a lot of studying that needs to be undertook before you become a doctor.
For both, probably.
Yeah, but, well, for both, actually, yeah.
This is Hustle. It's Pink, Snow FM Breakfast. Simo and Jordan waking you up. I gave you soft.